Today on The Breakdown, we have in studio the story of one of the most popular poker vloggers in the world, somehow. This is a real thing. So again, let me be clear. The story of one of the most popular poker vloggers in the world. It's Mariano. And when I say in studio, what I mean is we're going to talk about a hand he played. We're talking about the story of the hand. he's not here. We tried to get him. Yeah. I think he said something like, lose my number. So we're going to go without him. We were hoping he was going to be here and, you know, share his thoughts on the hand too. And he told us in no uncertain terms that probably should just start without him because it's probably not gonna make it this time or ever. So that's fine because we're strong, we're hardy, and things don't throw us off the way they used to. So instead, we're gonna just soldier on like two good boys. I'm going to make a podcast that everyone can be proud of. Certainly our parents. The ones who still care about us, at least. On The Breakdown. With Grant Dennison and Jonathan Levy.
That was interesting.
That's one of my favorite openings for the last long time.
It was pretty good, and I think it was unique to the history of openings that you've done. I wonder if it was born of the fact that there is a neighbor loudly playing Adele right now, and it was kind of like, you know, I'm going to be strong for me type of opening, which is kind of Adele's vibe in general, right?
Maybe. We were just talking about Aaron Rodgers, you know, before we started recording.
He's
a quarterback, now on the New York Jets, but famous American football player, and one of the big NFL reporters recently reported about this trade like a month ago, and Aaron Rodgers, well, I think everything he reported ended up being true, said, you know, like, don't contact me anymore, lose my number, and then the guy started wearing a lose my number shirt. So, like, because we're talking about that, I think that, like, cued something into, like,
I see,
getting refused by the person and telling that story, yeah, lose my number, so I went with it.
We don't have guests on the podcast very often.
Yeah, almost never. And I think we learned that the only way to do it is to sort of make them one of us instead of like interview them.
Right.
Because like, interviewing them, we're not great
interviewers.
At that.
We're fucking podcasters.
We're talkers. We don't.
We're the subject.
Exactly. You're lucky to be on this show.
Yeah. We had Matt Matros on the show,
yeah,
what, 8 months ago or something?
Mm-hmm.
Beyond that, it's been quite a while.
I think we had Matt Vaughn on the show once, didn't we? I know, I mean, we did him. We had him on Poker Time.
I think we just had him as a guest commentator on Poker Time.
Oh, is that it? We didn't have him do the other thing?
Nah, maybe. Oh. Maybe
he did once.
Maybe he did.
I think he did once. I think we've had Matros, but Matros only did it that one time. No, he's done it twice with us.
He's done it twice.
It just is the second time he started spoiling the hand and then like pushed back when we're like, don't spoil the hand.
That was crazy. He kept spoiling the hand.
He's like trying to give reasons why it's okay. And we're like, it's our fucking show, bro. You suck.
Get off the show. You're not welcome anymore.
Yeah. So also, we're not allowed to talk to him either.
Like, I lost his number.
Yeah. I mean, I have it, but I just stare longingly at it.
Right.
I never actually.
And you listen.
I read a lot of text messages, but I never sent them.
And you listen to Adele, and you kind of feel like, you know what? Tomorrow's the day I'm going to be strong. Today I'll eat a little chocolate.
Easy are you?
Yeah.
Like singing to yourself.
Yeah. Single tear.
Yeah. As you eat one saltine cracker.
I think you're eating a little differently than that in that scenario. It's more like a bucket of ice cream type of situation.
Yeah, but then after.
Oh, you're like,
when you're
now I'm being healthy.
I'm taking care of myself today.
Yeah. This is for me.
This single saltine.
This is not for my friends. It's not for society. Yeah. It's for Jonathan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have to do that. You have to engage in self-care. And if you don't,
you die.
You die badly.
Yeah.
You die badly.
Follow me on Instagram for tips on self-care.
I feel like, and maybe this is not necessary, but I feel like I need to say, please don't anyone write to Mariano and say, like, why didn't you go on the Poker Guys podcast? We didn't actually ask him. He didn't actually refuse.
That's not giving the audience very much credit.
I know, but there's a lot of people in the audience, and I just wanted to capture that 5% who wasn't sure and maybe is feeling a little prickly towards
maybe.
It.
Maybe.
I just wanted to, like,
I guess
it's not his fault.
He didn't do anything. Without me knowing exactly why, because I haven't paid that much attention, Mariano has become a somewhat divisive figure in poker.
Has he?
I've seen multiple people say And I've actually encountered multiple people who said they've met him and they didn't like him.
Okay.
And then I've seen stuff on like the poker subreddit about people saying they don't like him anymore.
Huh.
And I don't really know why. Something about how he acts at the table, I guess. He's like being arrogant or something like that, according to some people.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if he's arrogant. Yeah. I mean, a lot of poker players who are successful are quite arrogant.
Yeah.
And especially if you're like doing it on TV where you're trying to like have an image and like a brand and all that kind of stuff. Not that arrogance is a great brand, but actually that sells. That is a thing that sells pretty well.
I guess a good question, and I'm not saying Mariano is a top-tier player like these guys that I'm thinking of, but are there any top players who either cash or tournaments, and we could consider Mariano maybe at the top level of cash right now?
I don't think
so. Not like among the best, but he's like playing very high stakes.
Yes, he is. Sure.
He's probably not going to play like Triton stakes, but he's playing Hustler Casino stakes.
Sure.
Are there any players who are very successful consistently in those arenas, be it tournament or cash, who are not in any way divisive?
Oh, Jason Kuhn is not divisive in any way.
Yep. That is a perfect answer.
Thank you.
Yeah. Great job.
I would say David Peters is another one.
Probably
no one
Peters.
Has a problem with David Peters.
Yeah. Chidwick, probably.
Probably.
Yeah.
Does anyone have a problem with Sean Winter's weird, but is he divisive? I don't think so.
I would say, though, in a way, you could group all of the tournament super high stakes guys who act like that together as being somewhat divisive in their roboticness. People don't like that and what it does to the game.
Okay.
You know, the guys who all just act the same every hand and like are very, very boring at the table.
Yeah.
Vogelsang being emblematic of them, but you know, they're all kind of acolytes of that style.
Let's think about cash, like the higher stakes cash stuff, who is not divisive. I would say Patrick Antonius is not divisive.
I agree with that. Phil Ivey maybe a little, but not
barely.
Most people really like Phil Ivey.
Yeah, I think Phil Ivey's fine. Yeah. Like Negreanu is divisive at this
for
point.
Sure.
Even though actually I think he's done a good job rebuilding his brand.
I agree with that.
But still people, I mean, more rake is better. It's going to stay with him forever. Like, he's never going to completely
can't say
that.
You can't say that.
Yeah. So
Galfond?
Galfond, completely non-divisive.
Yeah.
But, like, Doug Polk at this point.
Oh,
like,
very divisive.
Oh, my gosh.
He's like, intentionally divisive, though.
He is, but he's also, like, legitimately at war with some people now, too. And it's not pretty. It's, like, kind of ugly stuff. And it almost doesn't matter who's right and who's wrong anymore. It's just gotten to the point where it's like, it's bad. I think I would argue it's bad for everyone. Maybe if you're like looking for clicks and engagement and building, you know, interest, maybe it's good for everyone. I think that is part of what fuels all of this stuff. Like, I think that's part of what fuels the Berkey Airball stuff. Not that I think they like each other, but I think that I do believe, and I have no evidence of this, that they overplayed their dislike for each other previous to their match.
I agree.
To build up interest. Because it's good for both of them to do so, right? Like, so why wouldn't you do it? Why wouldn't you lean into that? But I don't know that that's true. That's just a suspicion, to be clear.
I guess these guys might not be at the top anymore, but Esfandiari and Locke, pretty much universally loved.
I would say Locke even more so than Antonio at this point. But both of them, yes, very much so. Doyle, obviously.
Yeah, Doyle.
No one has a problem with fucking Doyle.
Right. He's the godfather.
He is. But also, there's a lot of cash guys who...
Yeah.
Yeah, you want to
Well, apparently Mariano is just, maybe this is just something that I've been seeing more than is accurate.
I have no sense of this. And there's nothing I've seen him do where, sure, he comes off as slightly arrogant, but you know, he's playing for like $100,000. He's got 100K in front of him as he's playing poker. Like, whatever.
I've heard the same thing from multiple sources. Huh. From the poker subreddit, which obviously I'm not a huge fan of that, but you know, this is a person saying something that's confirming something I heard from somebody I was playing live with who said... Yeah.
Maybe it's the same person.
It could be. That's true.
Or maybe that person read the subreddit, too, and is parroting it. I don't know. I'm just...
No, the person said it way before the subreddit thing came. Okay. But the person told me, like, yeah, I met Mariano. I've always been a fan of the way he plays in his vlogs. And then when we were playing, I just started to not like him because he was really dismissive of all of the fish in a way that was, like, really...
Interesting.
That was, like, really uncool. Like, anytime the fish turned over a hand that he wasn't supposed to... Mariano would give like the fucking most disgusted look and like make it obvious to the fish that he didn't like the way they played the hand.
Oh, it's so funny. What he's supposed to do is stare at the other player at the table who definitely knows that the guy is, it's a ridiculous thing, and not do anything, just make eye contact with no expression of any kind in his face.
Every good player knows this rule.
This
is a known rule.
How many times have I done that with you where I just look at you?
Yeah.
I do nothing else. Right. I just look and you hold. The thing is, you hold the eye contact for longer than is natural and everybody knows what's going on.
An extra second or two. Nobody else notices. You don't make a facial expression. You don't make a noise.
Right.
Yeah.
That's more than enough.
Yeah.
And if you have to, you can text about it.
Yeah.
Right? That's how you do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, come on. That's pro-level behavior right there.
Right, right. And, you know, I guess you could argue that in tournaments, it doesn't matter how you act around the fish, but in cash games, it's kind of your job to cultivate a good atmosphere for the fish.
I would say that is mostly true. Depending on how high up you go, it does matter in tournaments. Like, if you're playing in the Triton,
sure,
I think it really matters.
But if you're playing a full World Series of Poker schedule, do whatever you want as long as it's not highly disrespectful as far as, like, the health of the game is not going to change.
Right, yeah, right. Yeah. I mean, yeah, of course. But, I mean, that's true. No, you're right. That's true. It's more so your burden in cash games.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
It's weird that it isn't obvious to people. Like, I've always been amazed at the people who dress down someone for how they play when they play not well.
Right.
Or even, by the way, if they play well. But either way, if you think they played a hand poorly, like, talking to them about it in a dismissive way. I mean, I guess this goes back to people play poker for different reasons.
Right. The one exception, I think, is Helmuth, who I think has kind of turned it into an art form and made it more of a feature than a bug for a lot of the fish that he berates. It's almost like they're there for that experience. Yes.
At this point, it's strongly part of his brand.
Yeah.
And I think he is whiny, and I think a lot of it is real, but I think he also leans into it, much like we were talking about Berkey and Airball leaning into it.
Right.
Like, he feels this way, and he knows it's good for him to do it too, so why not emote here, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, I think that's part of it, because he is absurd, the things he complains about now. Like, if he's ever ahead at any point in the hand and loses the hand, he can't fucking believe it, and what the fuck is happening, and these fucking people. It's like, it makes no sense, even. Like, if you've played, he's played poker forever. Like, you know you don't always win.
I mean, I think the thing that most makes me believe that Helmuth is doing it as a show is the old thing from the World Series of Poker against Ruthless, the queen and the 10 thing. He called me with a queen and a 10, honey.
Because, like, it was so stupid.
Like, of course, Phil Helmuth knows that queen 10 is an obvious call out of
the
big blind.
From the big blind, for like a tiny raise.
Yeah, like, and so that's clearly like a brand building thing. It's not, he doesn't actually believe that's a bad call.
I don't know what he believes. I don't want to go so far as to agree with that even. That, at least for me, that is an evidence of it.
Okay.
But I do feel like he leans into it stronger than he needs to. But I also think he is the fully emoting voice that we all have in the back of our head when someone plays a hand badly. Or we believe anything doesn't go our way. And we're like, well, fuck, that sucks.
Yeah.
He just is like the fully emotional version of that
right.
out loud for everyone to see.
And it's like
somehow that's made him millions.
It was not one of my favorite episodes, but it's like the Rick and Morty episode where they get divided into like their clean selves and their like dirty mucus selves.
Oh yeah, sure.
Yeah, he's like the dirty mucus version.
He sort of is. Yeah. Yeah. That was a pretty good episode. But anyway. Good time. So we're gonna talk about this poker hand.
Yeah, I guess we'll do that this time.
Talk about some cards.
Yeah, it's poker hands with an L. Poker hand.
Polker, but not to do with Doug Polk.
No, no. This is a new thing that we're doing.
Jan Volk.
And we actually have invited Doug Polk to the podcast because of how we were renaming it. And we want him to be okay with it. But he told us to lose.
He was not interested.
He told us to lose his number.
Yeah. It's about Volkswagens.
Yeah, Volker hands.
Yeah. That's why it's Polker.
Yeah.
Volkswagens.
Yeah. You know? This is sponsored by Volkswagen in that they have lied again to the consumer about the amount of emissions their cars are making, and we're going to talk about that.
Yeah,
so thanks.
And also, we're going to ask you to do when we do that, when we get to the ad, which this is not the ad, to be clear. We're going to ask you to go on YouTube, and there's a particular video we're going to ask you to be watching while we go over all of the side effects and horrible things that have already happened to you and will continue to happen to you.
Right, because it's going to be pictures.
It's going to be, you know, people fishing and smiling and tossing a football in slow motion to their family members and stuff like that. So we're going to need you to look at that.
Right.
Okay, so just so you're aware, if you can, when we get to the ad, it'll be like 20 minutes from now. You could be like, if you're driving, pull over. You know,
if you're driving a Volkswagen, you might as well just not wear a seatbelt because the emissions have already done their work. You're basically dead. we killed a future sponsorship there.
We did. And it's the shameful thing is that we are right in the end stage talks with Volkswagen for a major deal.
But yeah, but that's what makes us special, right? We don't give a shit.
No, we are past nihilism.
Yeah. It's impossible to be past nihilism, but we did it.
We are through the other end of nihilism.
And, right. Which means we care a lot. We're highly passionate.
And that's why we don't care.
Yeah.
Because we do. Right. Behind all not caring is caring.
I care so much about not caring that I care less than people who actually don't care.
That is one way to say it. Yeah. Yes. Another way to say it is I care so little that I must care a lot.
Right.
Because why would I put so much energy into caring so little? Do you see?
I do.
And in the other way, I care so much because I don't care at all. Do you see?
There's one word that can easily sum up everything that you're saying here.
Yeah.
Hero.
Yeah.
You're heroic.
I think heroic is better than hero.
Okay.
But still a good word.
Yeah.
And hero was pretty good.
Yeah.
I wouldn't call myself a hero.
You can't. They don't let you do that.
No, they don't let me call myself a hero. So what I do is I create burner Twitter accounts to do it for me.
Like Kevin Durant. Yeah.
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 Oh, good times. All right. Well, we're back, baby.
All right.
Poker guys on the edge.
Why not? Let's talk about this hand.
Okay.
It is a hustler hand. It's a 100, 200, 400 hand with a $200 big blind ante. This was suggested on Twitter. Getting some Twitter suggestions through these days. You can suggest on Twitter. You can suggest on Discord. There's a link in the description to sign up for our Discord. It was suggested by just a letter of the alphabet, K.
Huh.
The letter K. So I'm honored to have finally gotten a suggestion. K is not my, you know, that's like a low tier letter, right? But it's still a letter in the alphabet. There's only 26 of them.
You're still a top 26.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Even if you're like...
It's like bottom 10 for sure, but it's...
Oh, bottom six, I think.
Bottom six, yeah.
Because like a U is... It's behind the U, and it's behind things like Z and W and
I mean,
and
Z is like, you know, a little low-key cool.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Those are all... They all have some style to them. K is like doing its own thing and not in a good way.
No, it's not. It's not impressive. But still, K suggested this.
All right. I was going to do a whole thing, but we can stop with
it. Yeah, we don't have to do an alphabet thing.
Okay, fine. I was going to.
Yeah.
It's fine. It wasn't going to be that funny.
When's the last time you ate alphabet soup?
It's been a minute.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. How about you?
I was a kid, so it's been at least 20, 25 years probably.
I would say it's probably been about 25 years for me too.
Maybe we were eating alphabet soup at the same time.
We were both kids in our mom's kitchen.
I was 12 and you were 53.
I was 14-ish. Ish.
Sure you were.
Yeah.
All right. So Kay suggested this hand.
Okay.
And here we are.
Okay, good.
We've got who is referred to by the commentators as King Henry.
Right.
Jonathan pointed out that usually isn't a good thing.
Right.
Like if the live stream show gives you a name that sounds very complimentary, that's not necessarily great. But I immediately said, I haven't watched a lot of Henry play, but we've done hands where he was involved or a protagonist, and I don't remember him making any mistakes.
Yeah, and I agreed with that. I was just thinking of Francisco the Pro on the same show.
He made some serious mistakes when we talked about his last hand.
Of course he did. And actually, when Mike Possel was playing on Stones Casino Live, they called him the GOAT constantly. I don't know if... I guess they didn't know he was cheating, probably.
Well,
the
who knows? But
yeah, you're right.
But the thing is, like with him, that was not being facetious. He was the biggest winner in the game by far.
Right, but if they knew he was cheating, then it means something.
Yeah.
But if they didn't know, fair enough. Yeah. Maybe they didn't.
Yeah.
Of course he was the biggest winner by far. He knew everyone's hands.
Right.
My God. You'd fold the second nuts routinely.
Anyway, King Henry has 206,000 in front of him. He's going to be the effective stack between him and Mariano on this hand, so we're deep. He's got kings in the cutoff, king of spades, king of diamonds. He's going to make it 1,000. So it's a small open, but whatever. This is what they're doing in the high-stakes games now. He's 2.5-xing it. Stanley, who has been a garbage human in a couple hands we've done, has he ever been a protag?
Who knows?
He's got 123K, and he's going to make a call that I don't think Jonathan Levy is going to approve of out of the small blind when there's a straddle on with ace-six off, ace of spades, six of clubs.
Well,
you should see Jonathan's face. We're going to get a video podcast someday, and you'll see Jonathan's face.
I know what the Hustler Casino Live's nickname of Stanley is.
Which is?
The greatest ever.
Yeah.
Because, my God. A6 off from the small blind flat? I am upset.
With a straddle.
I'm back to being with a straddle. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I'm back to being... I'm fine. You know, I was having a good day, Grant.
Yeah.
And then this shit
yesterday
appeared at my desk.
You got all your cries out with Adele yesterday. So today was like your day of healing.
Easy on me. Yeah. Wow. That is an awful call.
It's a shockingly bad call. It doesn't matter.
Right.
He's going to be a garbage human.
Yeah.
Mariano is in the straddle with 233K and 10-8 off and is obligated to enter the hand for $600 more dollars. So he does.
Okay.
He makes the call. The pot is $3,400. Jack, 9-3, rainbow. Spades, hearts, clubs. Mariano flops open-ended. Henry still has an overpair.
Yep.
Stanley has nothing. Stanley checks. Mariano checks. This is a very clear and obvious bet for Henry. The only question is sizing.
Right.
3,400 in the pot. You're three ways. There are some straight draws. You block some of them. There's no flush draws. It's not really that wet of a board, especially when you have kings. But we are three ways. How do you size it?
I'm probably going slightly more than half pot, like 1,600. Oh, that's not slightly more than half pot.
That's slightly less.
1,800, 1,900, 2,000, something like that. How about you?
I don't hate that at all. I think that's justifiable three ways from a balance perspective. You shouldn't be expected to only have value when you do that when you're three ways. And a jack is going to be obligated to call, and a nine is going to be obligated to call for that type of sizing instead of going a bit smaller, which is what Henry does. I mean, it's not a huge difference. He bets 1,500.
Yeah, that's fine too.
Yeah.
I like slightly bigger, but whatever.
Stanley folds.
Yep.
All right. What's your preferred course of action here as Mariano with the up and down straight draw?
Let's see. So it's 1,500 to win 4,900. So we're getting better than 3-1. Calling is fine.
Yeah.
Let me start by saying that, especially with this hand, because it's not going to be easy to see it if it comes in. If a queen comes, I guess queen jack could scare some hands.
Any card that gets us to beating kings is going to be slightly scary.
Because it makes them two pairs.
Yeah. Almost.
Okay, but not very scary, right? Like against kings, we should get more bets out of kings anyway, right?
Probably.
So that's good. This is... there aren't that many draws on this board.
Right. There's queen 10, there's 8 10, there's king queen, there's 7 8, which is not a great draw.
Pretty bad.
There's, queen 8, not a good draw.
Right. So we're going to need to have some raises with some of our draws just because obviously we're going to need to have some raises with our draws anyway. Sorry. But there's less hands to pick from.
Yeah.
To balance out our value here. And what's our value? Our value is probably mostly jack, two pair plus.
Yeah, and we have 9-3 suited, and we have maybe jack 3 off. Maybe we fold that, but 600 to win.
We probably
2,800.
We probably fold jack 3 off.
Probably.
But still, jack 3 suited, all jack 9.
Yeah.
3-3. Maybe once in a while we can have 9-9.
I think we could.
Okay. Yeah. So, there's some value there. So we need to have some hands to check raise with that are bluffs. This is probably a reasonable hand to do it with. I mean, I guess you could say king queen is better because you have more equity, but that's a reason you can call more of the time, I would almost argue. We don't want to get blown off a hand like king queen because it's so good.
You think king queen has more equity against the range than 10-8?
Well, because I'm assuming kings and queens are good a lot too if we hit.
Sometimes it just
could be wrong.
Makes us a second best hand type of thing.
Yeah, that's true. And let's see, that would actually only give us 10 outs anyway, even if all of our outs are good versus this, which is 8 clean ones, right?
Yeah, 8 really clean outs.
Yeah, eight like outs to the nuts. So maybe not the nuts if we hit a queen, but essentially
it's close enough.
Yeah, we can live with it. Okay, you know what? I'm going to take that back and say this hand is better from an equity point of view. Not percentage-wise, but we feel better about this hand.
This is a better expected value hand, perhaps.
Okay. If we're thinking about
future.
Yeah, and also if we hit, if it's good, because we know we're good if we make our straight almost always, but if we hit a king or a queen, it's probably, but not definitely. Yeah. And also we may scare off, even if Henry has aces or something, or ace jack, a queen and a king aren't cards he wants to see. Having said, so back to your original question, I feel like I've been dancing all over
the
place.
That's okay. It's the breakdown, baby.
It's what we do. We dance. What hands do we want to raise with? As a bluff.
Let me ask you, let's start with a smaller question.
Okay.
Instead of using the whole range. If you have 10-8, would you rather raise with the versions that have a backdoor flush draw or not?
Yes.
With the backdoor
flush draw. With backdoor flush. Because that gives me more barreling opportunities on the turn.
I
agree. We can barrel anyway, to be clear, even without that, because we do have an open ender. But we love it when we pick up a bunch more outs, which are hard to see on the turn, where it's easier to get paid on the river, right?
It seems like a relatively easy starting point for what hands to raise as bluffs is all of the straight draws that have a backdoor flush draw.
I like that.
That's just three combos of each,
yep.
But that's a decent amount. There's four types of hands, so we get 12 combos there. That balances us somewhat nicely. We can add a few more of maybe the king-queen type hands. The two overs and a gut shot type hands might be good ones to add into there.
We could also add stuff like your king eight suited once in a while, which is a backdoor flush draw. Also, you got two backdoors and an overcard kind of a thing. Have a few of those. But yeah, I think that's a great idea. I like that a lot.
Yeah. And that way you can always have any of the flushes that come in. Of course, you can still have those flushes when they come in if you don't have the straight draws with it, if you're balanced in other ways. Like, you don't have to raise all of your backdoor flush draws that are in your range, just that are also straight draws right now.
Mm-hmm, right. Like, you could have 3-4 hearts, and it could come running hearts, and then you got a flush.
Yeah.
Right. You wouldn't want to raise that most of the time.
Most of the time.
You could raise it sometimes, but mostly you wouldn't want to raise that. That's a cool way to do it anyway.
Yeah. Of course, it's not a problem to raise 10-8 off either. I mean, it's a hand that has reasonable equity against everything.
I think it's fine. This is also a relatively range-neutral board, so it's not necessarily better for Henry than it is for Mariano necessarily, right?
Yeah.
So that's a good reason to attack as well. We do only have 10 high. We'd love a fold right now, and if we get a call, it's okay.
It's okay, but it's not great. And my concern is that we're getting too many calls. You know, I of course, we want to be balanced and raise some
because
draws.
We were three-handed, and he bet anyway?
Yeah, he bet three. So it's really, that becomes a player-dependent thing, because I don't know how balanced Henry is, what he's continuing with, if he, like, studies and knows what to continue with that seem like hands that you wouldn't, like, ace-four of clubs, for example, is a hand that he should probably continue on this board, but a lot of recreational players are not going to do that because he's got the two back doors, you know, because you just need to have some continues on these
when you're deep.
On these clean boards when you're deep that in aren't position. Just over pairs and top pair and stuff, right?
Sure, absolutely.
So if he's the guy who has those continues, I like this raise a lot more, which Mariano does end up raising. If he's not that guy and he always has, like, top pair plus or a good draw, then I don't know if there's really a point to raising. What do you think?
I don't know what I think.
Okay.
I was in my head thinking about the thing we were just saying, and I stopped listening to you.
What thing we were just saying?
About the calling with ace four of clubs. I started thinking about that.
Not calling with it, continuing.
Calling the check raise with the ace four of clubs when you're deep.
Oh, you're thinking about if you would call with that.
With Henry, and I was just thinking about that piece of it, and then you kept talking, but I was like really in my
head. Oh, yeah. I was expecting him to fold those hands, like the ace four of clubs, but to have continued with them. That's my point, is that he has continues that he can fold, which would be important for raising when you have 10 high. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
You would like to have some fold equity.
Of course.
Right.
Of course.
So if Henry does continue with hands like ace four of clubs,
that makes more sense.
It's much better to raise than if he only has top pair and good draws and over pairs and stuff.
Right. Yeah. Thank you for talking me through that.
You're welcome.
A little help.
Yeah, it's okay. You know?
I was going to try my fake my way through it, and I realized I couldn't even do that. Like, I wasn't even equipped to do
that.
There
are two poker guys, but there are levels, and people can know that.
I would say there's, like, one and a third poker guy.
Okay. and I make up at least 0.75.
Oh, come on. Be generous to yourself.
Okay. All right. 0.8. Anyway. So I would guess you agree with my assessment that if Henry's a guy who only has hands that, like, are good to continue with, that feel really good to continue with, then it's probably not worth raising. But if he's going to have the two backdoor type hands, then you should probably
Because we're three-handed, is Henry basically betting top pair plus here, or is he betting a whole bunch of other stuff too because we're deep enough? And he's like, sure, two backdoors.
Right.
Yeah, that's a great point.
Yeah.
Agreed.
But, like, I guess this is kind of something that I want to say just from an instructional point. Like, if you're in a really deep game, you do need to have continues on boards like this with hands that don't feel comfortable sometimes.
Of course.
Like the ace-four of clubs. You don't have to continue with ace-four off if somehow you have that hand. You need some equity, right? But you want to not just have good hands only. Mm-hmm. But, of course, many 1-2 and 5-5 games, this does not really apply to. It has to be one where people are paying attention and, you know, balance is important. And, you know, in the 5-5 games that we play around Portland, those are often the biggest games around. Sometimes you do have to exhibit some balance because those games are deep and some of those players are actually quite good. And you have to, you know, not just be really exploitable. And I think that would be the case on Hustler Casino Live as well. And Henry plays on that quite a bit.
I think it all depends on, you know, which guy you're up against. I would argue, based on just this hand, that we probably don't have to think so hard against Stanley.
Yeah.
Just a guess, just based on the flat from the A6 makes me think, like, how do I ever have to worry about being balanced against this guy? Like, if he doesn't know to, like, fold A6 off from the small blind, how can he ever be paying attention to this other piece? It seems hard to imagine.
Yep. I agree. Anyway, Mariano raises to 6K.
Okay. It can't be bad.
It can't be. And the immediate, like, auto action I want to do as Henry is call.
Yes.
Which makes sense for all of the reasons.
Yeah.
Like, folding is obviously out of the question.
Of course.
Is there an evolution of these deep stack games where this hand becomes three bettable in this spot against players like Mariano?
Hmm. The problem with three betting this hand in particular, not this hand, I'm sorry, this board in particular, is that even though there are a bunch of straight draws, there's no flush draw to go along with it. And so there aren't that many draws. There aren't a wild amount of draws here. And the made hand should have us in trouble, right?
Yeah, but...
so and by the way, the straight draws, if it's queen 10, which is the most obvious straight draw, 10A is the other one, right?
Yeah.
But it's one of the two most obvious straight draws is queen 10. And having two kings blocks that really nicely.
Yeah.
It coming in, that's kind of cool for us. By the way, also if it comes in, the board could pair and then we win a monster pot. Like there's good things about having kings and keeping queen 10 in anyway. But more to me, it's more like I just worry that there is enough draws here that we can punish, and as opposed to just valuing ourselves.
Well, I mean, there are 64 combos of straight draws. I guess from our perspective, there's fewer than that. There's 56 combos of straight draws from our perspective.
Yeah.
I don't know if Mariano's taking them all in raising. He might be. Who knows? He's a pretty aggressive player.
Yeah.
My thought process is derived from just like recognizing Mariano as an aggressive thinking player who's going to be in these deep stack cash games a lot. And we have no three bets to threaten here. And it kind of sucks. Like, what are we three betting with?
I mean, a set of nines.
Yeah, I know. But like, that's just...
it's not very much.
Yeah.
That's true.
It would be nice to have some more.
Because you want Mariano the next time he's in the spot against us to be like, this guy's capable of three betting me light enough, like with a strong hand, but still light with more hands than I would want him to.
Like, how nice
and
is
so
it?
So I can't check raise so much.
How nice is it as Mariano to like basically know that you can check raise here and almost never get three bet? Yeah. Like, you're going to see a turn card for the price that you set almost always if you continue in the hand.
Right. So either you get the fold right now or you get to do it for 6K.
Yeah, that can't be good from
that's true
from the Henry player's perspective.
That is a fair point. There are other things to balance that question with, of course, which is Mario the kind of guy who will triple barrel and run some big bluffs?
Yes.
I would say based on the things we know about him, the answer is yes. Right?
Yes.
So that gives me, especially in position, more reason to want to stay in the tall grass a little bit more with a hand like this, especially. You know, the pair of hands.
That's fair. I just want to the game tree to open up for us a little bit.
Right. I hear that. And I think that's a great consideration and something we need to be thinking about against a guy like this. Because you're right. If he can check raise with essentially impunity, that sucks for us.
Yeah, he can check raise all 56 of those available combos and feel really good about it, you know?
Right. Like, okay, I'm paying 4,500 more than I had to, but when you add in the fold equity, it's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
This is a great deal. Assuming that Henry has hands that he's betting here.
And then I get to threaten any of the straight draws, and my opponent won't know which one I have, and it's...
Also, what if the jack pairs?
Yeah.
Like, we get to continue, and it's really hard for my opponent, unless he actually has the jack himself, then it's easy, right? But like, if the jack pairs, like, we can threaten that. We can threaten any board pairing, we can threaten more than he can threaten, right?
Yeah.
When we check raise. So, there's a lot of scary, tough cards and tough decisions ahead for Henry if he just calls here.
Yeah.
That said, we're really deep. Like, we're 200K deep or something like that, right?
I wouldn't consider this if we weren't that deep. If this was a 200 blind effective situation, I would never consider three betting. Well, I might consider three betting, but I wouldn't feel the need to open the game tree in the same way, I guess, because all of the money can go in on the turn in a lot of cases.
Okay, right. Still, I think you want to be able to threaten. I mean, I love the idea of just like you want to be able to threaten the nuts, right? From any position, essentially, if possible, right? You always want to be able to threaten the nuts. You want to be able to threaten the three bet, right?
Yeah.
Or the four bet or whatever it is. Like, if you don't have that gear ever, and so essentially the only time you're ever putting the three bet here is when you have a set.
Yeah.
And that's the only thing you can do it with. Or maybe top two, if you have jack nine suited exactly as Henry, right? There's just not many combos of that stuff. There's three, six, and then what?
Two
more of jack nine suited. That's eight combos total. So you've like come back to what you're saying. Mariano's check raising with, let's pretend, 64 combos.
Yeah.
All of them, you know? And we only have eight combos to punish him with.
Yeah.
That's not enough.
Right.
We'd want to punish him. In theory, we'd like to punish him like 25% of the time or something like that. So he's like, ugh. And really doesn't want to mix it up with us as much, right?
Yeah.
I think that's an important thing to be thinking about. And when we usually do hands, we're often localized to this moment, right?
Right.
And you're sort of stepping back and looking more at metagame stuff because King Henry and Mariano probably are going to play a lot more hands together, right?
Right. And I want to disclaim that if you're listening to this and your normal game is a 1-2 or a 1-3 or a 2-5 or whatever, and you're often playing 200 blinds effective against people who are not great players, this is not really applicable. Like, just play the more traditional ABC, like catch them when you can type of thing. You don't need to open the game tree up against most players.
Yeah, but the good players, and yeah, there's usually going to be, maybe not in 1-2, but even in the 2-5 games, I would guess, there's usually going to be a few guys who are at least pretty good,
yeah,
and paying attention,
yeah,
and are trying to be, you know, smart and balanced,
yes,
and all the things. And those are the guys you want to threaten back. You want to push back against,
yeah,
on.
I right? agree with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, use this advice sparingly if you
right.
try to apply anything that I've said to your own game. It's not something that I often do, you know, but it's hard to find a spot where you're against a good player, you get check raised, and you're deep, and you can, like, make these decisions. You know, it doesn't come up that often.
Your poker strategy has evolved from, you know, old school cool to, like, new internet-y, you know, passive, laggy, to, like, now you're playing a Barry Greenstein in 1998 again. Where you're like, well, I have kings, so of course I 3-bet all in on
yeah.
the flop when he check raised.
I didn't say 3-bet all in.
No, but like, yeah. I'm just thinking that there's a hand where Barry played in the big game where they asked him about it later. He's like, well, I didn't think he could ever have kings because he didn't 3-bet all in after I raised the flop.
Oh, yeah.
And the other guy did have kings because yeah. it was one of the young internet
right.
guys who got raised by Barry. And so he's just calling because he doesn't, you know, he's like, what can continue against me? But Barry wasn't like,
yeah,
never thinks about that, or never used to at least think about that stuff in that way. So that you're back to that.
I'm Barry Greenstein.
You've come all the way through. You're on the other side of nihilism.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
I love it. It feels great.
Yeah.
Anyway, Henry does the more normal thing and calls.
Can't
so,
be bad.
So to recap, it's Jack 9-3 rainbow. Mariano has 10-8. He's check raised. Henry has called. They were three ways to start yeah. the flop. Stanley folded. He had ace-six for some reason.
Let me even go so far as to say it's probably preferable to call than
I agree.
To raise. But I like asking the question, and we should be looking for spots to punish the really good players,
I mean,
who are overly aggressive.
If I could have this situation occur infinite amount of times, I would love to maybe take two combos of my six combos of kings and have them be three bets against Mariano. You know, like, I don't want to do it every time, but I want to be able to threaten it.
Yeah. Yeah, and you could also do it with some draws.
Yeah.
Of course, yourself. You have queen 10. You could be like, fuck yeah. you.
Yeah, of course.
You know, and so, and king queen. King queen might be a really good one.
Yeah, too. And if you, especially if you say fuck you as yeah. you three bet.
That's the best.
Yeah.
That's the absolute best.
Yeah, they can't call. It's over. It's over. And so is this section, which means it's time for nitro betting.
It's time to
everybody,
slide in.
Don't say that.
To nitro betting.
Everybody
warm.
Gather around the fire and
womb.
Stop listening to Jonathan. Stop listening to Jonathan.
Amniotic fluid.
Sure. Why not? Nitro betting will cradle you like a little babe.
Thank you.
Yeah,
when
you use the link in the description when you sign up, of course. If you don't do that, they will treat you the way the Spartans treated their babies.
How did they? What did they do?
Well, if they didn't like them, they just left them out to die.
What do you mean if they didn't like them?
If they were like, oh, this one's small or weak or something.
Oh, yeah, and they just like...
They're like, you're not strong enough to be a Spartan.
And that was it?
Yeah.
So they... Wow. I did not know that.
I mean...
They should have had the babies fight each other, like baby gladiators.
Oh, they did that.
That would have been... I would watch that.
No, you wouldn't. Anyway, nitro betting, much like the Spartans in the way they treat their customers, and let's just consider that a good thing, okay? So use the link in the description, okay, and you get treated well, which means you become like the guys from 300. You're all like oiled up and ripped and stuff.
Yeah.
It's pretty sweet for you.
Yeah, you're like...
You're like,
Jerry,
I don't wear...
Jerry Butler at his absolute height.
I don't wear any clothes. I spend 18 hours a day in the gym, and I have no actual skills.
And I love
300! Yeah, that's me. I made a wall of bodies, and I thought it was funny. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So use the link, get access to special promotions that they do in their sports betting, which, you know, happens frequently enough. You also get access to the monthly Poker Guys tournament. There's casino games. It's good stuff.
It's good stuff. Bathe yourself in the amniotic fluid of nitro bedding and all the nutrients it provides.
Right. You know, it's like you don't even have to eat. Congratulations.
Breatharians.
Amniotic Aryans, really.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Liquid nutrients.
Liquid nutrients. That sounds like something that, speaking of people that we've talked about on the podcast, Aaron Rodgers like promotes on
it
social media.
It does.
Guess what? I didn't get COVID because I had... liquid nutrients. Yeah. Yeah, that's me. I'm Aaron Rodgers. All right, anyway. Henry has called the check raise.
Good.
The pot is $15,400. Jack 9-3 rainbow. Turner's a five of clubs. It's the second club. It's not the card Mariano wanted to see. It's a pretty safe card for Henry. You know, if he was ahead, he's very likely to still be ahead.
Yes.
Is Mariano obligated to continue? I think this is a folly that exists in many even good players' games that is kind of a vestige of a decades-old poker strategy where if you start a story where you're the aggressor as a semi-bluff, that you have to continue in all cases. Mm. And I think you do not have to continue in all cases, although you should continue in many. Is this a time for Mariano to continue?
Well, the problem with continuing is that the hands that Henry called the flop with should mostly be calling the turn on this card, right?
Yeah, like, I mean, he could have a straight draw himself that will fold now.
That's about it.
Of but course, we block that
pretty hard with 10-8. He still could have it, but he also may have been holding on with some worse than top pair hands.
He could have like ace-9 suited or something.
Yeah, I guess. And then I don't know what he's doing, if he's continuing. He feels like he has to call once and sees what we're doing on the turn, and then he's like, I fold. But it feels like the majority of his range is like top pair or better, right? It's like a lot of jacks, really. Like ace-jack feels like right there.
All right, so the question is, can we get those to fold with the right sizing?
On the turn, I don't think so. We shouldn't be able to. We shouldn't expect that we can get those hands to fold on the turn, right?
In that case, if we continue, is it better to bet small? Go non-traditional, the current meta is to always bet pot or bigger on the turn, right? Is it better because against Henry's range, we're getting so few folds, we think, to bet something like 6K into 15,000 just so we don't have to check and like, we're just going to check fold when we have an open ender? That sucks.
It does suck. Betting 6K is kind of weird though in that we're still paying more than we'd like. I think if we're going to bet 6K, maybe we should just check and hope it goes check and take the free card. If we don't think if 6K is never going to fold them out, it's going to go check sometimes. So why not take the sometimes free card instead of paying for it?
I guess.
The one thing that we have going for us, and it's not a lot, but we have the eight of clubs in our hand and a second club just showed up. So
it's not a lot.
But we could, in theory, have made this play with the backdoor flush.
Yes, we could have.
And so now we'd be picking up equity, which were another club to come in, we have a blocker to that, which then we could decide to make a play at it, right? I would much rather have the ace of clubs in my hand making the same move.
I'd much rather actually have 10-8 of clubs.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It feels like a stretch. The other side of that, though, I'm going to take a third side. It's like a three-sided die. Those exist. It's a triangle. 1, 2, 3. That's a four-sided.
Yeah, you're thinking of a pyramid?
But there's four sides on even on a pyramid.
Yeah.
It's the bottom.
Yeah, but there's no triangle die. That's flat. That'd be flat.
I'm thinking of a pyramid, but that's four-sided.
Yeah.
What's a three-sided die? Do they make those?
No, that's just
they probably make them.
It's like a cutout of a triangle.
It's like a pentagon that's been like cut in half or something.
I don't think you understand what's going on.
You should have seen Grant's face when I said that. Pentagon. It makes sense. Anyway, the one reason I can think if we want to bet here to go big rather than small, meaning like somewhere, you know, close to pot, give or take, is because we're deep enough that if we want to sometimes take a big swing on the river, or by the way, get there and take a big swing on the river, you know, like go for a huge value, we can build up the pot tremendously by betting big right now. So, and also we tell a better story if we're planning on bluffing the river sometimes.
Yeah. I mean,
it's weird to bet 6,000 on the turn and then to bet huge on the river as a bluff.
You are correct. I was not thinking about the story when I was thinking that through. And certainly if you were Mariano and you had two pair or a set, you would probably want to bet bigger. I mean, Henry could easily have a hand like King Jack of Clubs. You would want to charge those types of hands.
King Queen. You don't want to charge 6,000 to King Queen right now.
Yeah.
Right? You want to charge him more.
Yeah. Right. So, yeah. I mean, I think from the balance and metagame perspective, it does make sense to go bigger. It just sucks if we don't have that many folds from Henry.
Agreed. 15,000 or so, which is what Mario does end up
He
betting,
does bet 15K, which is
where I pulled that
about
out.
Pot. Yeah.
Is going to make Henry fold everything that isn't top pair, I got to think. Right?
Plus, yeah.
And maybe he's going to fold some of his weak top pair holdings. What are weak top pair holdings here? Jack 10?
We might get raised by hands like King Queen and Queen 10 of clubs.
Yep. We really might.
But that's not...
Let's not worry about that.
Not a huge deal.
Yeah, like we block... Well, we don't block either one of those, actually.
No, we do not.
But, you know, still, okay. that sucks. Sometimes we're going to get raised by them. Sometimes they're going to fold. Sometimes, you know, if they have queen 10 of clubs, he's not going to fold.
No, of course
not. He might call, he might raise.
Yeah.
Whatever. I think if we're going to bet, we should go big. And I think it's okay to check and hope for the free card and fold to a sizable bet ourselves. And I think it's also okay to bet big with the notion that we're going to either get there and bet big on the river or miss and sometimes bet big on the river.
Okay. That seems like a fine plan.
Cool.
So Mariano does bet 15K.
Good.
This is uncomfortable for Henry, but he can't fold.
Not on
kings.
The five of fucking clubs. I mean, that is a clean-ass card, yo.
Clean-ass card.
Yeah, the ass has been cleaned.
Yeah, that's good. You want that.
Yeah.
So Henry calls.
Yeah.
The pot is $45,400.
You know, every time you get check-raised by a good player on the flop and you have, like, top pair or one pair, though, and you're just like, call.
Yeah, and you're like, this sucks.
Call. Am I really going to? And like, you're like, I hate the feeling on the turn just after you make this call where you're like, okay, I have to call on all these rivers. I have to fold on all these rivers, even though they miss on some of them.
Yeah.
I still have to fold on a bunch of these fucking rivers. And I have to call on all these fucking rivers. And, you know, I'm losing all the value. And like, it's you're just like,
you know what fixes that problem?
What?
Three betting the flop.
I mean, I don't know if it fixes.
Well,
it,
you wouldn't have the exact same problem.
You might have I don't know. Are you betting the turn? Huge. If you three bet the flop,
maybe.
Because if it goes check check, we're right back to the same problem. The pot's the same size.
But I feel stronger.
Okay. Anyway.
Anyway, the river's the deuce of clubs. It is a third club.
So backdoor clubs come in.
Jack 9-3. Five deuce. So ace four of clubs would be a pretty good hand right now.
That would be pretty good.
That would be the steel wheel, baby. Would be pretty good. So my question first is, who has more flushes?
Great question. It's probably Mariano, right?
I'm not sure I agree with that.
Really?
I think Henry has all of the Jack X and 9X of clubs, and I think Mariano has none of it.
Great. Excellent point. Strong agree. Also probably true. Oh, yeah, 9X. Yeah. You're right. He's got all those. So Mariano has the, like, backdoor club draw with a straight. Well, maybe it's a backdoor straight draw.
He's got some of that. 12 combos of that and maybe a little bit of other random clubs.
Right. But actually, he doesn't have almost certainly, like, ace six of clubs, ace seven of clubs, ace eight of clubs, ace ten of clubs. Those hands don't make sense because there's no... Oh, no, there's actually... Sorry, ace-10 of clubs, there's backdoor straights.
Yeah, maybe ace-10 of clubs.
But like ace-6 of clubs, ace, I guess ace-7 of clubs in theory has backdoor straights, but they're horrible.
Yeah.
You wouldn't...
I could see ace-10 of clubs.
Me
I could
too.
See that one.
But we could also just see that as a call a lot,
yeah.
too. You don't have to check raise that. And by the way, you could also just frickin' fold it to
out of
position.
Can.
That would be fine.
Yeah, it would be fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's Henry with a slight lead on clubs because he also has...
Okay.
He has the straight draw clubs too.
He does.
Right?
He does. Yeah. So he has all that. Plus, you're right. He's got Jack X of clubs, 9X of clubs. And maybe he had, I guess, can he have like Ace King of clubs ever?
No.
Probably he just folds the flop.
Yeah.
Right?
I think that's likely.
Probably. He does have two back doors and overs and position, and they're deep. I'm not 100% sure he can't have Ace
probably,
King of clubs.
He probably raises the turn instead of calling a lot of the time.
Yeah, probably. Okay. I'm going to give him a little bit of that kind of thing, but not a lot.
Yeah. So anyway, I think ultimately we've concluded that Henry has more clubs.
I think you're right.
Does that mean that Mariano should give up?
I don't think that alone is a reason to give up.
Okay.
Number one, Mariano does have the eight of clubs in his hand.
That is slightly helpful.
So he just blocks some of those.
Eight, nine, jack, eight of clubs are probably in Henry's range from the cutoff.
Queen, eight of clubs.
Yeah.
He never had that.
Yeah.
Which I think he probably can.
Ten, eight
that.
Of clubs, of course.
Of course.
Seven, eight of clubs, perhaps?
Sure. Maybe.
I don't know if he's calling the flop with that.
Yeah, I don't know either. He might just throw it away.
Yeah.
It's pretty reasonable to throw. But, you know, you never know with these fucking guys.
These fucking King Henry types.
So, I don't think we should be too worried about that. But having the ace of clubs does mitigate it slightly. It knocks out a few of those combos.
The eight of clubs, of course, you
meant. What did I say?
Ace.
I think I said eight and you misheard me.
Play the tape.
Please play the tape. Because I'm right.
Great.
And Mariano agrees. Anyway, so I don't think that should be a big consideration, though. Backdoor clubs coming in mostly shouldn't be a thing. And like you were saying, Henry might, not with Jack X of clubs or 9X of clubs, but with the other club draws may raise those on the turn a fair amount.
Yeah.
So
That's true.
I'm not overly worried about him having clubs. Of course he can. Either guy can have clubs, but it doesn't feel like it's a big part of anybody's range currently.
However, it does kind of mean that Henry has a slight range advantage here. I think that he's going to have some sets that are played this way, and he's going to have Jack 9 that plays this way some of the time.
Yes.
Mariano, of course, has sets of threes, sets of nines, and some and all the Jack 9 himself. And he probably has more Jack 9 because he's got the unsuited versions.
Yep.
Henry unlikely to have those. So there's a fair amount of value for both players, but I think Henry has a little bit more.
Because he has the overpairs also and the top pair stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah, because the other stuff, except for Jack-Jack, they're... Like, Mariano's got more Jack 9, Henry's got Jack Jack. Mariano actually has, like, the more nutted hands, and he's forgetting about clubs for a second, in his range. He's got slightly stronger, like, equity-wise. But I think Henry's got all the overpairs and ace jacks of the world that Mariano just shouldn't have.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. It's like, yeah, probably Henry has a slightly stronger range as a result, but it's probably pretty close.
Yeah, okay. So ultimately, do you think Mariano should go for it?
Oh, man. It feels like it's not going to work, you know, if we make a bluff here. Feels like Henry's not folding a lot. When he calls the $15,000 turn, we're going to have to really convince him to fold ace-jack. I think we should target ace-jack. If we can't get ace-jack to fold, we should not be bluffing, right?
Yeah.
At least ace-jack, if not queens and kings and aces. Like, those are the kinds of hands we need to successfully fold out, otherwise... Let's give up.
Yeah, I agree.
So can we do that?
Mariano thinks 80K will.
If you're going to do it, this is probably the way.
Yeah, he goes for it in a big way. 80K into 45.
Yep. I mean, it's going to be hard to call with all those hands now.
Yeah.
If you bet 40, they may all call. I'm not sure. Probably. 80, I don't know if they can all call.
Yeah, and I think it's not... So it doesn't limit his range so much. I think he could still do this with Jack 9.
I think he probably can. Probably. It's a little weird when the backdoor clubs come in and he overbets by so much. It's almost like he's saying he has a flush.
Right? Yeah.
It feels like he's saying he has a flush.
Yeah.
Could he do it with Jack 9 anyway? I mean, it's going to be rough if you get raised.
Yeah.
You figure you're only getting raised by like the nuts, though, essentially, like ace X of clubs, right? Like, I would think even worse clubs are just going to call when you 2X the pot.
Yeah.
So that's good. I mean, whatever. We have 10 high anyway. It doesn't actually matter. Anytime Henry puts any chips in,
yeah, we're not going to call.
Yeah, so it doesn't matter. So getting raised and getting called is all the same.
Yes, it is.
Right. Oh, but we're talking about if he has Jack 9.
Yeah.
If he has Jack 9, betting any K, getting raised sucks, but we'll just fold that too.
Yeah.
Right. I hope Henry isn't so creative that he finds a bluff there.
With Ace Jack with the Ace of Clubs or
right.
whatever. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Which yeah. I might be worried about.
Yeah.
I got to tell you.
Yeah.
So do we really have Jack 9? Are we really betting 80K with Jack 9 here? I'm not sure that we are.
That really limits Mariano's value.
Yep. Well, you know, he's betting twice the pot.
Yeah.
He's not supposed to have too many hands he's doing this with.
You're right. You're right.
I mean, if Mariano had Jack 9 and bet 80K, he's specifically targeting all these same hands that we were saying we're trying to fold out now, right? Mm-hmm. The ace jacks.
Yep. Kings. Poker's weird like that.
Yep. My guess is if he had a hand, if he was trying to get called by Ace Jack and company, he would bet less, right? Because like 80K may actually really fold out a lot of that. Like, wouldn't 35K, 30K just get called by Ace Jack? I feel like it would.
Maybe.
I don't know. But if you're trying, of course, you do have to be balanced and you got to find those hands. And how many times do you really have backdoor clubs? Like, not that often.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, I don't know.
This is a cool bet.
It is.
Mariano.
It's got to work better than a pot size bet.
Oh my God. It feels like it works so much more. Like a lot of the time on the show, I feel like I'm saying, does the frequency of calling really change when he bets this much or this much? But it feels like yes. In this case, yes.
I agree. So what should Henry do?
With kings. Well, he doesn't have the king of clubs.
Yeah, that's bad.
If we had the king of clubs, we're probably forced to call, right?
I think any overpair or any big jack with a club, we have to call.
Or I guess we could bluff if we felt we had to. If we had ace jack with the ace of clubs, would we call or would we move in?
I think both are fine.
Yeah. Okay, I agree.
Yeah.
I think that's right. Both are fine. We have to decide, like, how often is Mariano full of shit? And if we don't think he's bluffy enough, maybe we move in.
Yeah.
And fucking pray it all works out. That's cool. Okay, so we have kings without the club, though. So kings with the club, we're going to call.
Yeah.
Are we just folding kings without a club because he 2x pot?
Well, we have other things we can call with besides the bluff catchers, too. You know, we have clubs ourselves, like we talked about. We have all the Jack X and 9X of clubs.
Also, wouldn't we rather call with the Jack in our hand than Kings in our hand anyway? I think we would.
Because we block Jack 9 just in case. Yeah. Yeah.
So, I think that's a little better,
too. We'd rather call with any Jack. We might rather call with any 9 also.
This feels like this is pretty far down in our distribution of hands that got here.
I think we're supposed to call with any 9.
For the same reason. Oh, because we block sets of 9s and Jack 9. Yeah. Now, it's just like sets of 3s. And there's a lot less 9s and a lot less Jack 9.
Yeah. So, I think this is a fold.
Yeah. The problem is calling with any 9, it's hard to get here with a 9.
Yes, it is.
Because you probably fold the turn mostly.
Right, you're right. So, we don't have 9s, except for if we have a flush, which is not having a 9.
Right, and we're good anyway.
Obviously
right.
calling, yeah.
So that comes back to now we should call with our Jack. Jacks are better than Kings for sure.
Yeah.
Because there's no way Mario has Queens here and is making this play like this, right? So, there's no, the marginal, you know, value of Kings over any Jack is nothing. It's zero. They're the same hand. Anyway.
Yeah, I guess over pairs without a club are the worst hands we get here with.
Yeah.
Because so, I think we're folding our straight draws that aren't flush draws on the turn.
It feels hard to imagine we're flatting with them, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So I agree with you.
So this is among the worst hands we have.
So I guess we have to fold it, right?
Yeah.
We're just supposed to fold.
Yep. That's what he does.
Yep. That seems right.
Yeah, so still Henry doesn't seem to have made any mistakes.
It sucks that you can not make a mistake and miss out on, you know, $125,000 pot.
Yes, it does.
That you can do it correctly, but it, at least we think, is correctly, but
I think Mariano
costs you all that money.
Probably played it quite well himself, so.
I mean, I really like how he played this hand. I mean, I like that, we were talking about this, but I like that if he's going to bet the turn, he goes big. And I love that, and like we were saying, I knew this was coming, of course, when I said it, but it does give you an opportunity to make your bluff much more significant and believable. If you bet 15K on the turn, right? For the river bluff, I mean.
Yeah, it's a high variance way to live, man. 80K on the river.
I mean, it only has to work 2/3 of the time. That's the thing you have to tell yourself. Like, just 2/3 of the time. Sometimes this motherfucker's missed his draw. Sometimes this motherfucker's folding. Sometimes this guy may fold hands he's supposed to call with anyway.
Yeah, he might.
You know, just because you and I would call with any overpair in a club doesn't mean Henry's doing
right.
that. I don't know if he's doing that or not. Also, you're... You know, you got to stare the abyss in the eye when someone bets $80,000 into 45.
That's a lot of money.
Like, I know I'm supposed to call. I've certainly in my life been like, I know what I'm supposed to do, but I'm doing this instead.
Yeah.
I'm going to throw my hand away anyway. You know, sometimes right, sometimes wrong. But so like Mariano's doing that one, right? He's like, I'm taking the measure of a man right now.
Well, it was an effective bluff. And we think that Henry, even though he lost the hand, played it well.
We like how both these guys played
it. I like it when that happens. That's fun.
It is fun and not common enough. All I need is one mic and I can show every single MC how it's done right. Every time I come by, I'm bound to leave them tongue-tied. I'm sipping on liquor, a quitter is what I'm not. We got one life and I took a minor break, but I'm back to claim the throne. I'm gonna be traveling the globe. We still have time to make it.